Russ Baker is Distinguished Professor of Political Science at Rutgers University. He received his PhD from the University of Pennsylvania. He was Research Associate at the Brookings Institution and has served on the staffs of many members of Congress, including the former Senate Democratic leader, Harry Reid. He's also an old friend of mine from the back in the Rutgers day. Remember all those days, Ross?
All too well, Alan. with great fondness, always.
So, Ross Baker, you are really a distinguished political scientist who knows so much. You're on vacation and you've given us some time, albeit from the tick-infested woods of Maine. So my question to you is, you've watched a lot of presidential administrations. What do you think about the first 6 months of the Trump administration?
There's no precedent for it. You know, I rely very heavily in my work on going back and comparing present-day administrations with those of the past, and you can find points of comparison with almost all of them. The real problem for me with the Trump administration is there's nothing to compare it to. There's no other president who is so completely focused on his own emotional needs and so inexperienced and so unwilling to involve himself in the details of legislation, so detached from important political discussions that, you know, it's hard to find. And Warren Harding, as a president, was much more engaged and much more in tune, I think, with the policy problems that he had to confront than Donald Trump. And Warren Harding is hardly, you know, a paragon of presidential virtue.
There are 1,000 questions that people call into our morning program, Ross. One is, can he pardon himself? He's raised that specter. Can he?
Well, you know, it's been generally accepted through the years that presidential pardon is absolute. I mean, for example, Congress cannot override a presidential pardon. A person once pardoned by the president is pardoned for all time. Now, things that he does after the pardon obviously are not covered, but the pardon is plenary. That is, it covers everything that that person did in his or her official capacity. Now, the subject of whether a president can pardon himself or herself, is open to debate. The Constitution doesn't specifically address that question. People have to kind of look to other areas for some kind of comparison. For example, the old legal principle that a man can't be a judge in his own cause. That the idea that a president can exempt himself from punishment because of the presidential pardon system, something that's never been tested.
And it would be fascinating to see what the Supreme Court might have to say about that when it got there. But hand in hand among our questioners, Ross Baker, is the other question, can a sitting president be indicted?
Well, that's another interesting question. I think the conventional wisdom, and that's all it is, has been that no, a sitting president cannot be criminally indicted, that there is a constitutionally prescribed process for removing a president from office, two ways. One, of course, is by impeachment, and the other is by the terms of the 25th Amendment. Now, the 25th Amendment provision has never been tested, and it's hard to imagine that Donald Trump could be removed that way. For one thing, it requires certification by the vice president and by the cabinet, a majority of the cabinet, which is complicated. And I just can't see Wilbur Ross or Tillerson voting to have Donald Trump removed from office. So, again, this is a very, very vague and ill-defined area of the law.
You know, Ross, I'm going to check in and just tell you my view of this one is a little different, I think, but maybe not. You know, the pardon, I think you're right. I think it's probably unlimited, and I'll bet he could do it. Nixon considered doing it, we are told, but thought it wasn't the right thing to do and stepped aside. But the other possibility on the indictment side is you take it to its logical conclusion, say, okay, what if this guy killed somebody? You mean to say that you have to impeach him first?
You mean if Donald Trump made good on his campaign promise that, or his vow that if he walked down Fifth Avenue and shot somebody, that he'd get away with it?
No.
No, I think that probably a criminal prosecution would probably be in line. I don't think anybody would even challenge it. I mean, the idea that you could assert presidential immunity in the case of a major felony committed while in office, a criminal offense, other than, let's say, embezzlement, I think that invoking presidential privilege in that situation would be laughed out of court.
Well, we have some precedent on this, of course. We have the Supreme Court of the United States. Didn't take them very long to find on the presidential tapes case that Nixon had to turn over the tapes. I think there's a point at which even Republican, partisans, which I believe, exist on this court, have to take a look in the mirror and say, I just can't do this.
Yeah, no, they certainly, back with the Nixon case, they made an exception to executive privilege. I mean, he was invoking executive privilege on a lot of things. And finally, they came to the conclusion that there was important evidence that was there that simply could not be left under the umbrella of executive privilege. And they curtailed it, although they did not eliminate it entirely.
Well, yes. But I think there's always this question, right, Ross, of, am I doing this because I'm a Republican? Am I doing this because I'm a senator? Or am I doing this for the American people? And there's a point at which you got to look in the mirror.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. People are writing me incredible numbers of letters, which are extraordinary in that they're so unhappy. They're saying, isn't it possible to get a do-over in the election? And I keep saying, no, that's not possible. But this insanity of what's going on right now is making people so unhappy that they're reaching far back for what are not constitutional provisions.
Right. I think that democracy means anything. It means a regular and predictable process. One of the things that's going on in Congress, for example, that upsets so many people, and this pertains to the repeal of Obamacare, is the abandonment of what's known on Capitol Hill as regular order. The regular order is something that anybody who's sort of taken a civics course would recognize. That is, the bill gets introduced, hearings are held, amendments are made, votes are taken, and so on, all of which are public. In the case of what Senator McConnell, the majority leader in the Senate, has done, is basically conduct a process behind closed doors, not public, with a restricted number of senators and so on, which seems to me fundamentally at odds with the essence of what a deliberative body is, which is inclusive, which should be ideally at least bipartisan. And I think that even though the process is slow and cumbersome and so on, I think we have to stick to it. And I think we have to stick to the fact that we have presidential elections every 4 years, congressional elections every 2 years. Even though we may be impatient, when there are a lot of things that are going on that are really kind of making people nutty, that abandoning that prescribed schedule, that particular process, I think, would really be very unwise.
It's always wonderful to have Ross Baker, distinguished professor of political science at Rutgers University, an old colleague of mine. Not that you're old. It happened a long time ago.
I was a child prodigy, Alan.